I thought that went fairly well, Caleb said again, later that night, to a considerably different audience. Charlian had gone on to bed, and he'd discovered that, since his marriage, he felt much less temptation to stay up late drinking too much wine or telling too many bad jokes with Merlin or some other crony. At the moment, however, he didn't have much choice, and he, Archbishop Michael, Roger Macklin, and Merlin sat on a palace balcony sipping Desnarian whiskey while they gazed up at the stars. The distant chips of light, lights he knew now, which were, every one of them, a sun as fiercely bright as Safehold's own, glittered like jewels in the heaven's velvet vault, with that cool hush that comes only in the hours before dawn. It was scarcely a setting most people would have associated with a meeting between an emperor and three of his most trusted advisers, but that suited Caleb just fine. If he simply had to deal with matters of state instead of the bedroom, he could at least do it as comfortably as possible.
"As a matter of fact, I thought it went quite well myself," Stainer agreed.
"And a good thing, too, if you'll pardon my saying so, Your Majesty," Macklin put in. "I'm delighted to have that particular arrangement made and solidly accepted well before you go sailing off to invade Coruscant."
Merlin nodded, although the doctor's observation showed a far greater degree of pragmatism and political awareness than he'd ever expected to hear out of him. He'd known all along that the perpetually bemused look Macklin presented to the rest of the world was deceiving, but he'd never appreciated how acute the older man's political insights were likely to prove when he chose to exercise them.
"And he's been exercising them a lot more ever since Caleb moved the Royal College into the palace, hasn't he?" Merlin thought. "Well, that and since the Brethren cleared him for the complete story of St. Gernot."
Judging from Caleb's next words, the same thought might well have been passing through the Emperor's brain.
"I agree with you, Roger," he said. "But that brings me back to my ongoing concern. I am going to be leaving the kingdom within the next few 5 days now, and Charlian is going to be ruling as my regent, with Regis as her first counselor. Don't you think it's about time for the Brethren to make up their minds to let me tell at least one of them the full story?"
Macklin had the good sense to keep his mouth firmly shut. Caleb's tone was determinedly pleasant, but that only emphasized the very real anger at the backs of his brown eyes.
"Caleb," Stainer said after glancing at Merlin, "I understand your impatience, truly I do, but it's simply not reasonable to expect the Brethren to reach that decision this quickly."
"With all due respect, Michael, I disagree," the Emperor said flatly.
Stainer started to open his mouth again, but Caleb raised his hand in a gesture which, while far from discourteous, was undeniably imperious, and continued speaking. "The fact is that Merlin was absolutely right when he told me how smart this woman was," he said. "In fact, if anything, I think Merlin underestimated her. She's not just smart, she's a hell of a lot more than that. And keeping her in the dark about something this fundamental is depriving us of one of our most valuable resources. Not only that, but as I believe I've mentioned before, she's my wife, as well as the Empress of Caris. As Empress, she very definitely has Merlin's need to know. And as my wife, she has every right to expect me to be open and honest with her, especially when it comes to something as fundamental as this."
None of the other three spoke for several seconds. Then Merlin cleared his throat, which, despite the tension, won an involuntary grin from Caleb. The Emperor still might not fully grasp everything involved in the concept of a pika, but he was aware that Merlin would never have any physical need to clear his throat.
"First, Caleb, let me say I agree with you completely. But however deeply I may agree with you, there are certain practical realities we simply can't ignore. And one of them is that the Brethren are still concerned by that possible youthful impetuosity of yours. Let's face it, You just married a beautiful, smart, and, if you'll pardon me for saying it, sexy young woman. Nothing could be more natural than for you to be besotted with her, or at least for all of those factors to push you into making something less than a careful, fully reasoned decision where she's concerned. Crackin' shit, Caleb said bluntly. Oh, I suppose a sufficiently older, close-minded, cranky monk under an oath of celibacy in a bare monastery cell somewhere might think that way. I'll even go so far as to drop the oath of celibacy. But I'm a king, Merlin. In fact, I'm a bloody emperor now. This isn't just a decision to be made by a new husband. It's a decision to be made by a ruling head of state on what's effectively the eve of his departure for the invasion of a hostile princedom. I know the odds are against my getting myself killed. But don't any of you forget that the odds were against my father getting himself killed, too. It can happen. And if it does, and if Charlian has to be told the truth after my death, how do you think that's likely to affect her willingness to accept the trustworthiness of the Brethren, or of you and Michael, for that matter?